Well, the first of our reflections on Acts chapter 13 for today. Now, there's much more about this reflection that's written up in the PDF that I'll be sending out later. But I think it is important to help us to get some deep background to what is happening in chapter 13 in terms of the call, in terms of the principles of mission and the call to mission that we are given. Something about God's big mission story. And I think I want to begin with a simple, ordinary, everyday question. Have you ever thought that you and I and lots of others may tend to something of a rather personalized view of our relationship with God? And that very overtly personalized view may actually be something of an unbalanced view. See, a view which focuses on how God gives purpose to the story of our life and may fail to see how our lives fit into the story of his purposes. See, the New Testament tells us that God acted through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross, destroying the devil's work, so to present us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And this isn't just about us, this is about redemption. God's great mission story is the redemption of all creation, fulfilled in the new creation, the new heaven, the new earth. And this call of God's mission includes engaging us in that very activity. We are God's co-missioned people. And this is the purpose behind Jesus when he co-missions us under his authority and in his presence to carry out God's great mission story. See, it's for that mission purpose that Christ empowers us in the Holy Spirit, in as we read in Acts chapters 1 and 2. He makes us his co-workers, his representative agents or ambassadors, the servants of his workmanship to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And Peter in chapter 2 of Acts and Paul in chapter 13 of Acts, with slightly different emphases according to their context, Paul telling the story with an eye on the listening Gentiles, they both express what God is doing. They both express an understanding of God's great mission purpose, a purpose revealed in the stream of Israel's history, through Abraham, through the founding of Israel as a nation, through the kingship of David, all leading to Christ Jesus, in whom Paul declares, especially for the ears of those listening Gentiles, people can be forgiven their sins and justified from everything they cannot be justified from by the law of Moses. And when Paul says that, he's not saying that, well, look, you know, Jesus fills in a few missing links, a few loopholes in the law of Moses. He's actually saying Jesus fulfills the law of Moses. Jesus offers a new covenant that flows out of the law of Moses, but which says Jesus is the one whom we should follow, not Moses. A revelation that's especially important to Gentile males who often have some resistance to coming into full covenant commitment with the God of Israel because of the need for circumcision. And see, what Paul and Peter before him are saying is that all God's plans, all his mission purposes, all his relationship with Israel, all his desire to bless the Gentiles, going back to his promise to Abraham that through you will come the blessing of the nations. All this comes to its climax in Jesus and is fulfilled completely in the new creation. See, Jesus is the seed of Abraham, in whom all nations are to be blessed. He is the prophet like Moses, whom God's people are to obey. He is the one who takes people beyond law into grace and truth. He is the son of David, whose reign is unending, and the suffering servant, who has himself become God's covenant. He is our permanent high priest, holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens, made perfect forever. He is the living tabernacle of God, who made his dwelling with us. And he promises that if we love him, as shown by our obeying his teaching, he and his Father will make their home with us. In him, all God's promises of covenant blessing are realized. And through him, God's covenant blessings are offered to the nations. Paul isn't discarding Israel, he's seeing Israel being redefined to include Gentiles in Christ. And we can also see that in Christ we are being built together, Gentiles and Jews, to become a spiritual house in which God lives, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to him, as Peter says, for which he calls us to be living sacrifices, no longer conforming to the world, but to be transformed to seek his good, pleasing and perfect will. And if we look ahead to the book of Revelation, we can, as Christopher Wright says, we can see all God's great mission story summarized there. Noah is there in the vision of a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth that comes after judgment. Abraham is there in the ingathering and blessing of all the nations from every tribe and blessing. Moses is there in the covenantal assertion that they will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. And in the dwelling of God with men and he with them. David is there in the holy city, the new Jerusalem, and in the identity of Jesus as the Lion of Judah and the root of David. And the new covenant offered to the world in Christ is there, in the fact that all this is accomplished by the blood of the Lamb who was slain. And God's great story, you see, includes us. It includes our blessing and includes our involvement. For it's both a messianic story of our salvation, because we've been brought out of the darkness, and it's a mission story of God's special action in our general history for how all people may be saved, which calls us to participate and play our part in that great mission story. As God blesses us, he also calls us to be his co-workers in the achievement of his purpose, the blessing of others. Jesus brings us into his new covenant to send us out in his great commission. We are blessed by the Messiah to offer his blessing to others. So it's right and good for us to rejoice in God's messianic blessing. This is what God wants to do in our life. Yet at the same time, between Pentecost and the new creation, we are called to play our part in God's co-mission purpose. And may that, and perhaps that engagement in his mission is actually foundational to God's present and eternal blessing. Perhaps it's in this context and with this intent that Jesus declares, as Matthew records, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And also I tell you the truth, that the renewal of things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Our messianic salvation should fruit in our missional commission, our missional cooperation with God in the great unfolding of his story to redeem all creation through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.